At the ending of Matthew's Gospel, we read of what is called the Great Commission. And Matthew tells us that the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, although some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go now and make disciples of all nations." And he ends, "Surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the world." What I see there is a beautiful promise of the Lord, that he who is all-powerful, he who has all authority, he who is the second person of the Trinity through whom all things were created, he who is light of the world, he who is victorious and all-conquering, that Jesus is with us always. And the truth is that there has never been a moment when Jesus was not present to us, that everything that is came to be through him, and that in his infinite and overwhelming love, he has been always present to us. He has always been Lord. He has always been Savior. And it is not he who changes, but it is we who open ourselves to the truth of what is, his lordship, his love, his salvation. And for me, one of the most exciting aspects of the healing ministry, one that we're beginning to understand more and more, is the healing of the negative moments of life, the healing of the negative memories and the bad experiences, and the ability to go back in time, to go back to the earliest moments of childhood, to go back to the moment of birth, and to go back even beyond the moment of birth, through the 9 months we were carried within our mothers, back to the moment of conception, and know that at every single moment, the Lord Jesus Christ was there, loving us, affirming us, present to us. Whether we were open to it or not, whether we realized it or not, he was there. The psychology and psychiatry know how deeply we have been all affected by our early experiences. Psychiatry knows that even before birth, the attitudes and the climate around us while we were still within the womb have some kind of effect and leaves either a positive effect or a negative scar, and that these experiences seem to have an effect on our spiritual, emotional, physical well-being. And I've recently seen studies where comparisons are made, as studies are conducted, where they prove that prenatal care is very important to the well-being of the child, and that somehow that child is influenced by the climate of the 9 months in which his mother carried him, the feelings of the mother, the climate of the family, her physical health, her emotional state, the father of the child, that all the events and experiences surrounding the conception and the pregnancy have some kind of an effect on the well-being of the child. How we think about ourselves, how we feel about ourselves, how we tend to respond and to react, so many things have been influenced by other people's reaction to us. I think it's important to remember, perhaps to emphasize, that I don't think that we are determined by early experiences, but I do feel that we are all influenced by them. while we were within the mother's womb, the circumstances surrounding our birth, the climate in which we were reared in our earliest days. All of these things have some kind of an influence. Now, I think that psychiatry, psychology can diagnose, can go back and can pinpoint problems, negative influences, emotional scars. But in and of itself, psychiatry and psychology cannot heal those scars. They cannot change the way things were. And so they have to tell you, or they have to tell people, that they have to cope, that they have to adapt, that they have to accept the way it is. And yet the healing ministry, I think, has discovered a whole new dimension. And that, in the love of Jesus, the healing ministry speaks about how things can change, how they can be redeemed. It tells us about healing, not about adapting or coping, but about redemption. And that is because the healing ministry is based on Jesus, who is a Savior, who came to redeem us out of darkness, who came to take what is negative and hurting and painful and turn it into light, to save us from the evil that is all around us, the evil that influences us. Jesus is, in fact, a Savior. And we need not simply be prey to every shifting wind of influence and experience and every memory that is locked deep within our subconscious. But the healing ministry, especially inner healing, is based on that promise of the Lord that He is always with us, that He is the same Lord yesterday as He is today and will be forever, that He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. As we read in Psalm 139, there is no place that we can go to escape the presence of the Lord. There is no darkness so dark that can blot out the presence of the Lord. There is no place so deep that His love is not deeper still. There is no place so far away that He in His infinite love does not follow. And His light can shine in any darkness. And His love can touch any depth. He only needs to be invited in. We can bring Jesus into every facet of our lives, every aspect of our memory, into every experience, every moment, every memory, every part of our deep subconscious, even those parts that are beyond our ability to remember and to recollect. So many important experiences need that touch of the Lord because they are so negative, and to this very day, we're influenced by them. It makes a difference whether I was conceived in love, whether I was conceived in anger, or fear, or revenge, or deceit. It makes a difference how the news of my conception was received by my mother, and how she reacted to the knowledge that she was pregnant. It makes a difference how my father reacted when knowing that he was going to become a father. It makes a difference how people around my parents reacted to the news that I was created, that I was on my way. Was I carried peacefully over 9 months, or were they 9 months of anxiety, fear, nervous tension? And when I was born and brought home, was the early climate one of tension with this sibling rivalry? Or was it a loving atmosphere where I was truly wanted, where I was cared for? Or was I a burden? Did my mother hold me when I was born? or was I carried away to an incubator for weeks before I was truly held by my mother or my father? All of these and so many others have real influence on me today. Now, a memory or an experience is healed, or I can call it healed, not because it's changed in the sense that I can make my past any different, but I can relive my past in my vivid imagination, in my creative memory, in the picture of my inner mind. I can go back and live through in my deep subconscious every memory and every moment of my life from my creation on, from my conception on. And I can live it anew and bring Jesus back and let his light light up the darkness and let his love fill every moment. And so it's the same memory, and it hasn't really been changed, but it has been bathed in love and in light. And so it loses its ability to influence me in the present. And when a memory or an experience no longer affects me today, then I can call that memory healed. I can call that experience healed. When it no longer has the power to hold me in its grip, when I am no longer controlled or heavily influenced by what had happened to me years ago, then that memory is healed. I can bring Jesus back, and I can let him enter in to the most painful memories, beyond the things I've mentioned surrounding conception, 9 months within my mother's womb, birth, my early infancy. Each one of us has times, has memories, traumatic moments, frightening things that have touched our lives and that perhaps still cause us fear, anxiety, and nervousness. And in our minds and memories, we can bring the Lord back and live that memory again, but this time in his warm embrace and secure in his loving presence. But for now, I think I'd like to center on conception and on the 9 months within my mother, upon the moment of my birth, and all the influences and circumstances surrounding that time. And I have to begin by picturing Jesus before me, and knowing that he is with me now, and that his presence to me is a very secure presence. His presence to me is a loving presence. That he is with me, and he loves me, and he protects me. They have to know that if I were open to it and focused on the Lord's presence, then no real harm could ever come to me. Nothing could harm my spirit. Nothing could scar my psyche, because the Lord is with me. And then I ask the Lord to hold me in his arms. And in my vivid imagination, I can actually feel the loving embrace of Jesus. I can know his presence to me. I can know the security of being held. I can look into his eyes and see that deep love and compassion that he has for me. And I ask him if he would come with that secure embrace, that light and that warmth, that deep compassion and understanding, and come back and relive with me all the moments surrounding my birth and conception. That he would go back to the most sacred of all moments, the moment I was created. And that because he is there blessing that moment blessing that act of creation, blessing my parents as they come together in love, and thanking with deep appreciation and gratitude his Father for creating me. He blesses that moment when I came into existence and I was created. And he watches as that one small cell begins its life. And by his presence and his light, we ask the Lord to touch anything negative that could surround the moment of my conception. Any fear, any deceit, any anxiety, any anger, that the Lord would touch and the Lord would heal anything that could possibly influence that one small cell, anything surrounding that moment that is not of goodness or love, that the Lord, by the presence of his love, would bring healing to it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we sever any hereditary bondage. Anything hereditary that is not of God, we sever now. And we begin to watch that small cell take shape. And the Lord watches over it through the 9 months as it develops from one cell, develops into an embryo and then a fetus. And we remember that the mother at some moment began to realize that she was pregnant. We ask the Lord to heal any effect of her nervousness or her anxieties or her fears. And as she began to realize that indeed she was carrying a child, we ask the Lord by his presence to heal any sense or feeling of rejection within that embryo, any negative feelings that it could possibly pick up from his mother, and that the Lord Jesus would bless it and bathe that little embryo, that little mass of cells, that he would bathe it in his own precious blood and shield it from anxieties and harm. And into the second month, when the father has discovered that he will be a father, we ask the Lord to bless that relationship already, that the Lord would bless, that he would heal anything negative that could possibly come from the father, and bless that little fetus as it develops, and bless it each moment and each day, and shield it from any negative experiences, any of the mother's anxiety, anything negative that could possibly come from society, from family, from friends. That the Lord would watch over that little infant fetus as it develops and grows within the womb of its mother. And then on the day of birth, the Lord Jesus is there. And as the child's come forth into this world, the Lord Jesus is there to hold and to embrace and to rejoice and to give thanks. And picture Jesus holding that child. And he takes the child, and it's Jesus who presents the child to its mother. And you can see yourself, infant child, being held by your mother, and the Lord blesses her motherhood. And if you are adopted, you can picture yourself being handed to your adopted mother, and the Lord Jesus saying, "Here, I have a gift for you." And accept the fact that your mother wanted to be the best mother she could possibly be. And she, in fact, was the best mother she knew how to be. And forgive her now for anything negative, anything that was lacking in her motherhood. Jesus takes you, infant child, from your mother and hands you to your father, or to your foster father. He says, "I have a gift." And at that moment, your father looked down upon you, newly born, the first time he ever held you, and he loved you and was proud of everything that you were. And at that moment in his heart, he resolved to be the best father he could possibly be, the best father he knew how to be. And at this time, as you see yourself being held by your Father and Jesus standing over you and Him blessing that fatherhood, forgive your Father for any of His mistakes, any of His inadequacies. Forgive Him. And let the Lord bless that three, mother, father, and infant child, as He blesses you, and as He will bless you every moment, and shield you. And Lord, we give You thanks for Your protection and for Your love. We give You thanks for Your blessings. Thank You, Lord.